Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be back with you once again at WWDBAM. That's 860 on the dial. I'm your host, Thera Martin. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Wednesday, September the 20th, 2023. The Allegheny West Radio Show. It's brought to you by the Allegheny West Foundation. We are working every day to lift up our community and to strengthen small businesses in our part of North Philadelphia. All right, looking at the clock, it's exactly 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're excited about our program today. Got three great guests. We're going to start with Pennsylvania State Senator Sharif Street. He's got some information he wants to share about a wonderful sixth annual cannabis conference that he's doing this Friday and Saturday. And then when we turn the page, we will talk with Zamoria Brandon. She will share information about the Walter E. Brandon Sickle Cell 5K Walk and Run and Wellness event that's happening this Saturday, September the 23rd. And then as we wind down on the show at 8:45, we will talk with Linda Fields. She's out of the Norristown section of Pennsylvania, and she's going to share information about being heart healthy and a heart health walk that's coming up in Norristown. That's on Saturday, October the 7th. All right, let's get started and jump right in. I know the Pennsylvania State Senator Sharif Street is already on the line waiting to get in with us, and we're so happy to say good morning to you, Senator, and thank you for your availability to our program once again. Now, as I shared, Senator Sharif Street is hosting his sixth annual cannabis conference this Friday and Saturday down on the campus of Temple University. And I remember when he did the first cannabis conference, I was there in the room 6 years ago. And it's amazing how time flies and passes by, because here we go. 6 years have passed, and we're still sharing the important information about cannabis, about opportunities to get in the business of cannabis. And so we're happy that Senator Street, like his late uncle, Milton T. Street, the former Pennsylvania State Senator Milton T. Street, to be daring and bold and to talk about issues that sometimes people want to say, oh, no, I don't know anything about that, and I don't want to know about that. I wouldn't want to know about cannabis, right? Well, cannabis has been proven to be a help for health concerns in different areas. And so I'm glad that Senator Sharif Street, following in the footsteps of his late uncle Milton T. Milton Street, to share information and to get information out there to the masses about cannabis and opportunities to get into the business of cannabis. Now, do we have the senator? Is he he's probably on the line, but knowing him, he's juggling four or five balls, so he might be talking to someone else on a conference call, and he will come right back to us. Are you there yet, Senator? Because, I mean, we know he's there. But
I'm not sure if the senator is there, but okay. Sharon Perry Thomas is here.
Hi, Sharon. Yes. How are you?
Hi. I am fantastic. So I'm here to talk about the sixth annual Cannabis Opportunities Conference,
okay,
which is viewed by DACO. And I'm the co-founder of DACO, which is the Diasporic Alliance for Cannabis Opportunities. And so we're really excited to be partnering with the senator on another year. This year, we are really, our theme is about the future. Mm-hmm. And we are gathering for 2 days to talk about how we see ourselves in the future of this, because so many times we have conferences, we talk and we discuss in the here and now, which is great, right. But what does that look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years, it's going to be different. So, you know, just like other communities, we have to start preparing for the future. And so this conference is really an opportunity, again, just to really share with the community what some of these opportunities are. I heard you earlier say the sickle cell walk is happening in Philadelphia. And we actually have some people who are coming in town who are going to participate in that walk. And sickle cell, as you know, is one of those things that impacts our community.
Yes.
And so cannabis happens to be one of those qualifying conditions, because mm-hmm. you just can't go out and buy cannabis. Mm-hmm. You have to qualify. You have to have a condition. And in our medical marijuana program, sickle cell is one of those reasons that some people can qualify for a medical marijuana card. So with that being said, I just want to give folks some specifics about the conference.
Please.
The conference is in person. It is at Temple University's Lewis Katz School of Medicine. That's the 3500 block of North Broad Street. The in-person portion of the conference is on Friday and Saturday. On Friday, our conference kicks off with a policy summit, and that summit starts from 12 and goes until 4. And on that policy summit, we are really looking to just drive home some of the policies and some of the things that we think that community really should know. And so since our state is still in, we like to say, this infancy part of cannabis, we are bringing in people who are policy experts and subject matter experts from other states, including Louisiana, as well as New York, New Jersey, in Maryland.
Would you say that, I'm sorry, would you say that Pennsylvania is ahead maybe of some other states in addressing cannabis and trying to educate the masses about it and the good things that can come from cannabis as well as the business opportunities?
No, I mean, honestly, like I think Pennsylvania is just a little bit behind.
Oh, no.
We're surrounded by states. So there are two components to a regulated cannabis market. Mm-hmm. You have a medical market and you have what they call an adult use market. A medical market, again, that's one of those qualifying conditions that you have to have in order to utilize and to receive cannabis. The adult use market is a market that allows adults to buy cannabis without having a qualifying condition or a registered card. So that's the difference between those two. And so within our surrounding states, Pennsylvania is one of the only ones that does not have an adult use market. We also don't have an equitable market where you have Black and Brown, as well as women operators in our state. We don't have that. And other states, they have Black owned, they have Latina owned, they have women owned. We don't have that.
So Pennsylvania's got to catch up. Pennsylvania's got to catch up.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're seeing. Pennsylvania does have to catch up and not only just catch up, but allow some of the needs of our state to be funded, and to be funded with cannabis revenue. And so the governor has already, he already has a line item that revenue from adult use cannabis, a portion of it has to go to the state. In other states, they have used revenue for education. They've used revenue for housing. For instance, there is a municipality in, it's in Illinois, and it's called Evanston, Illinois. Evanston, Illinois uses their tax revenue from cannabis as a reparations, and that's what they call it. It's reparations there in Evanston, Illinois. And so it allows for Black residents of that area to have money for housing, if that's to buy a house, if that's to take care of a house, if that is to pay down on a mortgage, if that's to find housing. And they do actually use the word reparation, and honestly, it's the first bill that has ever been paid, that has ever been established to be paid automatically. And so that has happened in Evanston, Illinois. So when we think about cannabis, regardless if a community is interested in the consumption part or not, most importantly, we have to be concerned about the revenue part. That's what we want to drive home, is the revenue part, because we know, especially in Philadelphia, where I reside, we need money for everything. And if we can inject some of that revenue into our community to help repair our community from the war on drugs, then we need to start having more conversations throughout the community about cannabis and how it can actually positively affect and impact our communities.
Sharon Perry Thomas is my guest right now on WWDB on this program, the Allegheny West Radio Show. And I know we did have Pennsylvania State Senator Sharif Street on the line, and I know he gets pulled all the time. He has so many balls that he's juggling, so it's okay if he doesn't reconnect with us. But I'm glad that Sharon Perry Thomas is available to tell us about this cannabis conference that's happening this Friday and Saturday on the campus of Temple University. Is it too late for people to engage, to get registered?
No, it's not too late for people to register. And let me just say, one of the reasons that we decided to have this conference, you know, starting 6 years ago, was simply because it wasn't enough information in our community. Conferences of this type, I travel all the time to the conference. I just signed up for one. It's $800 in Chicago. These conferences cost money.
Yeah.
You have to pay for your travel. You have to pay for your hotel. And then sometimes they're not even addressing our needs. But this one, we're putting our needs on Front Street. This is also Black Cannabis Week. So we're very clear in what we're centering at this conference. And it's, again, it's like our needs and how can we really address some of those needs? And also, how do we see ourselves in this billion-dollar industry? And so the Cannabis Opportunities Conference is a free conference for all attendees. Now, I say it's free. It's not free to put on, but it is free for the attendees to participate. And the type of people who are giving their time and information, we're just so grateful, because many of these people are some really heavy hitters, and they're coming to our town. They're coming to Philadelphia. I mentioned the policy summit, which is on Friday, and that title is Forging into the Future, Black Voices in Cannabis Policy. And one of those people is the New York State Assembly Majority Leader, Crystal People Stokes. She was the person that was responsible for their social equity program in New York. And for those who don't understand that word, social equity is really about leveling the playing field. And so we also have Gary Chambers, who's from Louisiana. He was the person that ran for state senate. For the state senate, for the federal, senate. And so he really became famous for a commercial that he did, which they call the 37 seconds. So I'm going to tell people, if you haven't seen it, look at it. It's called 37 seconds. And in that 37 seconds, he's dropping all the statistics of people who've been incarcerated by cannabis. At the same time, he's sitting in a field smoking a blunt, and at the end of the commercial, and he says, "I'm Gary Chambers, and I am running for U.S.
I got to see that commercial. I haven't seen it, but I want to see it. As I look at Friday's agenda, and you're starting off at 9 a.m. with a breakfast, best practices in the medical marijuana industry. I see Dr. Bridget Cole is one of the people who will be on that panel, and she's going to be talking about responsible consumption of medical marijuana. That sounds very interesting to me, and for people who are utilizing cannabis to help them with health issues and pain and all of that. When do I stop? I mean, do I roll a joint once every 2 hours and smoke it, or do I smoke or ingest cannabis as I have pain? That will be an interesting piece that she will bring to the table of discussion, along with prison reform. Stephanie Shepherd, I see, is going to be one of the panelists also for that breakfast policy discussion that's going to be going on the medical marijuana industry. And then hemp cannabis education, Kevin Green. You got some great speakers that are going to be educating those of us who are able to be in the room.
Right, exactly. And so one of the interesting things with Dr. Bridget Cole is that she wasn't interested in cannabis at all. Mm-hmm. But as she was working more and more, and she lives in Ohio, and as her program started rolling out their program, she realized that she was seeing positive changes in many of her patients, and just realizing that, hey, maybe I need to look at this cannabis thing just a little bit farther. And so she's able to now recommend cannabis for her patients there. And when we talk about responsible consumption, this is something that's really important because we do have a lot of patients. And I personally like to say diagnosed or undiagnosed, people are consuming cannabis for a reason. It's not like just drinking water. They're consuming cannabis for a reason. And many communities have had a huge amount of trauma, and they have found cannabis to be one of those ways to help through them through some of that trauma. Again, it's just that we want people to understand what responsible consumption
is. Yes.
And that's really an adult consuming cannabis in a responsible way, knowing what to take, what to and where to take it, and how to take it. And I know a lot of times when we talk about cannabis, one of the first things people think about is smoking. Yes, smoking is one of several ways to actually consume cannabis. But I also wanted to talk about Kevin Green, who I mentioned earlier that Pennsylvania is a little bit behind. Well, Kevin Green is the vice president of something called the Cleveland School of Cannabis Education. And they are getting ready to be one of the first accredited programs from the federal government to teach people about cannabis, to teach people about the careers in cannabis. And Kevin actually lives in the Allentown area, but because our state is not really at the point where people can enter as a business, they can enter as an entrepreneur, he has to live and go to Ohio to help run this Cleveland School of Cannabis. So we're really excited for people to hear what the possibilities are.
The Cleveland School of Cannabis. I'm going to look that one up too. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we really want people to understand what the bigger picture is with cannabis, and especially in our community, you know, it's almost like a Juneteenth. You go across one borderline, you're in a whole nother world.
Right.
You come to Pennsylvania, it's a different story. So, you know, part of what we do as well is just really trying to demystify and to destigmatize what cannabis has been known as. Because prior to prohibition, cannabis was the medicine of choice. There weren't a lot of medicines that African Americans could utilize for different conditions. Cannabis happened to be one of them. And then it was moved into the pharmaceutical world, where the only way you could get it was through the pharmacy. Actually, here in Pennsylvania, there were several pharmacies where cannabis was compounded and utilized from everything from menstrual cramps to back aches. And then the prohibition happened and we were totally separated from the plant altogether.
Wow. Now, Black Cannabis Week, that actually started on Monday, September the 18th, and goes through the 23rd. So, like, is there an activity happening tonight or tomorrow, Thursday, before we come into the Friday and the Saturday activities that Senator Street is going to be doing with your organization?
Yeah. So every day at 12:30, we have a virtual component because during the COVID or during the pandemic, we couldn't have this conference in person, but we still had it. And so since we were going virtual anyway, we just widened it and opened it up to not only other communities, but other countries. We've had Zimbabwe to participate. We've had Ghana to participate, Accra, Ghana. We've had Lesotho to participate, as well as Jamaica. So sharing some of those stories and stories, and as well as some of the experiences, and see from a Pan-African view, how is it that we can come together with some of this information that we need to help our communities develop. For them, a lot of the destruction was done through colonization. For us here, a lot of that destruction was done through the war on drugs and other laws. And so that evolved into what we know now as Black Cannabis Week. And so we're in our fourth year of actually doing this virtual component of Black Cannabis Week. And yes, it did start on Sunday. So we normally start with history, and each day there's a different component and subject. Today's subject is actually business. And so we have the last, we have 40 tons, as well as a CBD dog treat company who will be broadcasting live from LA, along with JoJo Simmons, whose father we know as
we know JoJo.
Yeah, from Run DMC.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they will be broadcasting from Las Vegas from a Black owned dispensary there. So each day people can catch us at 12:30. That's again Sunday through Thursday. Tomorrow's the last one. And they can catch us on our YouTube channel at Black Cannabis Week. com, and that's where they'll be able to see it happen live.
BlackCannabisWeek.com. Okay.
Yeah, and they can catch us live every day. All the recordings that we've had so far this week are all residing on that website. But the YouTube is the way to collectively see it when everyone else is seeing it at the same time at 12:30.
Fantastic. Sharon Perry Thomas, thank you so much for joining us this morning on WWDB and sharing this information about the Cannabis Black Cannabis Week, about the Cannabis Conference on Friday and Saturday. And we definitely want to learn more and to be a part of the effort to educate in our community about cannabis. Before you go, one last thing. Now, I keep hearing that there's the marijuana that you can buy on the street that's not legal. And that some people who are selling it are putting other stuff in it. So I guess a word to the wise would be, don't buy illegal marijuana.
Don't buy it.
Because you don't know what's in it.
Nope, especially in Philadelphia, exactly. You don't know what's in it. And we do want people to be safe.
Yes.
We consider this, many people call it a medicine, and they really utilize it for a lot of medicinal purposes. Again, that's between them and the plant.
Yes.
But for us, we want to make sure that people understand what it is that you're actually consuming. And with the high rate of just illicit drug use in our city, we want to make sure that people are safe. We do have several dispensaries, which is what they are called, where you can qualify to actually get a card to go into a dispensary and safely buy your cannabis. So be safe.
And that's what we want for our community for sure. Thank you again, Sharon Perry Thomas. Have a fantastic week, and I hope I'll get to meet you in person. I'm going to be coming out on Friday or Saturday. I haven't figured which day yet to check in and see what I can learn about cannabis as I come out for the 6th Annual Cannabis Conference. Have a great day ahead now.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is the Allegheny West Radio Show here at WWDB. We want you to know that the Allegheny West Foundation, New Cortland, Blessings of Hope, Phil Abundance and the Share Food Program coming together today for another free food giveaway at 3101 North 22nd Street. We will be out there starting at 10 o'clock this morning giving away free food. We encourage folks who are low on food in their kitchen cabinets, in their refrigerators to come on out. Ain't no shame in your game. Just come on, bring some grocery bags, bring a box, bring a shopping cart, and get all the free food that we have available for you. We'll be out there starting at 10, and we stay until the food is depleted. Normally, we're finishing up around 12:30, quarter to 1. The food is gone. It's out of there. So we just want people to know food is going to be distributed today. You don't have to show any ID. We try to keep it as simple and as easy as possible for folks. 3101 North 22nd Street. That's at 22nd and Clearfield in the heart of North Philadelphia. We'll be outside in front of the Panatti Recreation Center. And I'll be joining the rest of the crew as soon as I leave the radio station and get myself over there to 22nd Street. So make sure you come out if you need some food or if you know somebody who needs some food, a senior citizen on your block, and you know that they're short on money and all of that. You can come look out for them. Come get the food for them. Take it back to them if they don't have transportation to get there, okay? That's what we want you to do. We are our brothers and our sisters keeper. We got to look out for each other. This is WWDB. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk with Zamoria Brandon.
Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, Black owned, Black run, Black excellence. Get scooped.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
All right, here we go, here we go. It is 8:27 in the morning right now. The temperature holding steady at 61 degrees. And I have a weather forecast for you. I'll give that to you after we talk to our next guest, who's joining us right now, Zamoria Brandon. We're so glad to have her again as she works smart and works hard for the 25th annual Walter E. Brandon Sickle Cell 5K Walk, Run, and Wellness Event. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, we are on a roll this morning, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Getting ready for all these wonderful projects and activities going on.
Yes,
Sharon,
yes,
Perry,
yes.
Thomas, with all this going on at Temple.
And yeah, and she told me that you all are walking, people from her group, Sharon Perry Thomas's group, will be walking on Saturday.
Yeah, she said that they were going to try to register before their event and then leave from there and go to Temple.
Oh, wow.
So thank you, Thera, for inviting me to come on for a few moments just to give information. As you said, 25th annual, named after Walter Brandon, my husband of 25 years, who passed away in April of 1998 before the first walk was to take place. So I always say, Walter may be gone physically, but his spirit lives on and the legacy continues. Yeah. So I am honored to be selected and left to tell and to continue on with the legacy of Walter Brandon and what it meant to have sickle cell and live well with it while you have it. So thank you for being here for me, for us, for the community this morning. Yeah. You know, I'm glad I'm home. And when I finish here, I'm going to the office. We got much work to do.
Down to the crunch. It's crunch time now.
It's crunch time. Yeah. And I want to say that we have a wonderful celebrity guest coming in probably tomorrow from Houston, Texas.
Mm-mm.
Here.
He crazy.
Junior Spates, known as Junior, from the co-host of the Steve Harvey Morning Show, but also a comedian and a sickle cell warrior. A lot of people don't know that he is someone living with sickle cell. Mm. So we've talked, you know, via Zoom. I have his cell phone number. We've been in communication. Good, he's good. Excited to be coming in. So he's going to be our celebrity MC mm-hmm. and kicking off as the grand marshal from the event. He said, I just want to come and see my people.
I so love it.
You know, so we are excited and getting ready for him to come in. I want to say up front that we could not do this without the support of AFSCME District Council 33. Mm-hmm. They have been our major sponsor since the first year in 1998. Oh, so we are excited that they are still on board. Mm-hmm. Pete Matthews has retired. Mm-hmm. We have Ernest Garrett, who is the president now, and that he and his team have been working with us to make sure this event is a success. So again, it is Saturday, September the 23rd. It will be at Belmont Avenue and North Avenue of the Republic, mm-hmm. right across from the Please Touch Museum. It's a 5K, 3.1 miles. Some people will be running, some will be walking. Some people will just come and be there for the festivities. Mm-hmm. We'll have community vendors, we'll have health screenings, face painting, refreshments, music, entertainment, voters registration, and all of that. So we are working hard.
Did you think of everything or did you just think of everything? I love it.
You know, and there are some things that I probably didn't even mention, you know, that are going to be happening. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. yes, and you know, people are asking now, it's forecasted on Saturday to rain.
Oh, I didn't know.
But it is a rain or shine.
Rain or shine, okay.
And I'm sure you've been there where we've had the umbrellas up and we say, we can do this. People Absolutely. Are living with sickle cell, have so many issues mm-hmm. that they deal with. Why can't we stand with an umbrella? Mm-hmm. Why mm-hmm. can't we walk with an umbrella?
Oh, it's just a little bit of liquid sunshine. It's liquid sunshine, like Wilson Good used to always say. I'm not going to let that stop us at all.
So if people want to know more information, they can call our office, 215-471-8686, or they can Google 25th Annual Walter E. Brandon Sickle Cell 5K Walk and Run. It is a fundraiser for the Philadelphia Delaware Valley Chapter of the Sickle Cell Disease Association to continue providing supportive services across the lifespan from children all the way to the end of life. So I'm excited, you know, anxious, want everything to be right, to be, you know, in order, and just ask for prayers for this event. This is our 25th annual.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And aside from the awesome unions to come out, in particular DC 33, to be a sponsor, they put their money where their mouth is. They're there. I know other unions embrace what you're doing as well, the sororities, the fraternities.
Yes.
I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. I see the AKAs. I see the Deltas. I see the Zetas. Everybody sort of comes out and embraces this event because we understand the importance of raising money to be able to help an organization like yours because it is worthy. It is worthy, the work that you do.
And we are 41 years old. We just celebrated July 2nd, 41 years of giving service to the sickle cell community.
Now, give us the phone number.
Part of this journey.
Give us that number again, Zamori, where people can get those last
just
minute
call
details.
Call us directly.
Okay.
215-471-8686. Again, that's 215-471-8686. We will be there probably into the evening.
Okay.
So if people call, they can get us. If they have a question, they need more information, please give us a call.
So for people who've never come out and participated in a walk or a run before, so you come out, and let's say you did not pre-register. So now I show up.
Okay.
It's 8 a.m. Here I am. I got some money in my hand. Can I just bring my cash or bring my credit card or debit card and sign up on site?
Yes.
Okay.
Pre-registration ends Friday at 12 noon, but on-site registration begins at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. You can bring cash.
How much? Is it $25, $35, $50?
Yeah, $25.
Very affordable. Very affordable. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yes, we encourage people to join Zamoria Brandon and all the good people who are going to be working with her this Saturday for the 25th annual Walter E. Brandon Sickle Cell 5K Walk, Run, and Wellness event. It's going to be outstanding, wonderful, and awesome. You got a superstar who's going to be there with you as your honorary MC and all of that. And so we are just excited for you, and we look forward to being out there with you on this Saturday morning.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Thera.
All right. Thank you for peeking in on the show one more time, Zamoria. And you have a blessed day ahead, and we will see you on the 23rd. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. We're going to keep things going as we move forward with this edition of the Allegheny West Radio Show on this Wednesday, September the 20th. Want to remind you that we've got a free food giveaway happening today. Starts at 10 o'clock this morning outside in front of the Panetti Recreation Center at 3101 North 22nd Street. Thank you, Ron Hinton, for continuing to care and lift up our community. And when we have a little hiccup here and there, we fix our hiccups and we make things better. But we certainly love our community, and our aim is always to support and to be there for the people we serve in 19140, 19132, and anywhere in Philadelphia. If you need some help and can't get help from anybody else, you might want to call the Allegheny West Foundation. We're going to do our best. All righty, we're going to keep things going. I know we have our final guest standing by, and we're going to come to her in just a moment. But I did want to give you that weather forecast today. We're going to see lots of sunshine. Praise the Lord. It's going to mix with a few clouds. That's okay. After our cool start, we'll have a comfortable high of 77 degrees today. I know a little bit later on, I'm going to be pulling these sleeves up. I'm like, hot. Like, why did I wear this shirt? Right now, it feels fine when you're outside. But in another hour or so, I'm going to be like, I'm so hot. Tomorrow's going to be another beautiful day with lots of sun, high again about 77 degrees. And on Friday, clouds will increase as a low pressure tracks towards our region. Rain may arrive at night or overnight, high of 75 degrees. And on Saturday, as Zamoria Brandon was saying, there is a prediction of some liquid sunshine, but we're not going to let that stop what we got to do on Saturday, and that's to walk for sickle cell. It's going to be a raw and chilly day with periods of rain likely as a coastal low impacts our region. While the exact timing and track of the low is still unclear, it's looking increasingly likely that we will see periods of rain and wind. How much rain and when? That has yet to be determined when models come into more agreement on the path of this low and a high on Saturday. 68 degrees. 68 sounds good to me. I like it. Sounds very good to me. And I got this weather forecast from Channel 6 Action News because, hey, got to get the forecast right, right? So thank you, Channel 6, for that weather forecast today. All righty, we are now going to go right on over to our final newsmaker for this morning. Her name is Linda Fields. She's a community activist. She is a leader. And we just appreciate all the great work that Linda Fields has done over the years. Tireless warrior for the people, a longtime member of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees. And she is just a leader in every way. Good morning, sis. All right, Linda Fields, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Fantastic. Are you turning your camera on or are you going to leave it off?
I'll turn it on.
Yeah, there you go. Turn it on. This is Radio TV at WWDB, and this program is live as we're doing it on the radio at WWDB AM 860 on the dial. We are live on the WWDB AM Facebook page, or folks can listen online on the WWDB website page, which is www.wwdbam.com. But right now, Linda Fields, how you doing today?
How are you, my sister? I am blessed and awake.
Right? Oh, you look so beautiful. Look at you.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. You are a blessing. Thank you for the prayer you gave me last night. That prayer put me to sleep. That's probably the best I've slept so far this week.
And God be the glory.
That was that blessing you gave me last night. Thank you for that.
You're absolutely and always welcome.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
I pray for you anyway.
Yes, ma'am, and same back at you. So now, I know that you have been a caring person all of your life, and certainly all the years, and I've known you over 30 years, and you've always been involved in good work and community service and lifting other people up. But a while ago, you needed to be lifted up yourself because you had a health challenge with heart health. And God is bringing you through. Look at you. Look at you. Won't he do it?
He did it.
Yes, 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 yes. But I'm thinking that a part of what happened with your heart health situation has made you even more sensitized and like, I need to take my testimony and use it to lift other people up, to get people involved in and getting educated about heart health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's important to me for many reasons. I lost my sister and two brothers to heart disease, my mm-hmm. mother and my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you walk your life. You're young and you're moving around and you're moving and working and yes. doing things and interacting. And you don't think it's going to happen to you. And I worked in the healthcare field. I mean, I represented healthcare workers, and mm-hmm. I was actually at Jefferson Hospital servicing the workers at Jefferson, and I was talking to one of my members, and I could see their lips moving,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't hear what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
When I woke up, I was in the emergency room, and I had a myocardial infarction. That was the beginning of my personal journey, but my family had been saying, Linda, you have to do health checks. You have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know the dangers of heart disease.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I will. But we get caught up in our work, our lives, our children, yes. our families, and we don't take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first real warning for me that, okay, mm-hmm. I'm protecting and advocating for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to take a step back and figure out, what do I need to do? And one of the things I needed to do for me, the way I am designed, mm-hmm. is in order for me to help me, I have to help others.
Yeah.
And so that's where the heart-to-heart weekend of life, I talked to a few friends, Janice Gellert, and she had lost her sister to heart disease. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to more people and realizing there was so many people out there who lost family members, but they weren't checking in on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I started Heart to Heart Week End of Life, which educated people about heart disease.
Yes.
We had conferences, we had health awareness workshops,
mm-hmm.
and I was at a convention down at used to be the Franklin Plaza, what used to be the Franklin Plaza,
mm-hmm.
and the laborers were there, and one of their presidents was in the process of having a heart attack. Sam Staten was still alive then.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked over to Sam and I said, Sam, I've been doing some studying and I've been, you know, working with Dr. Crabb and some other folks at Temple Hospital. And he has the signs of a heart attack. Get him over to the hospital. Kahneman was the hospital
yes.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, get him over there now. You cannot wait. It saved his life.
My.
And so from that point on, I was doing heart health awareness, ministering about heart health, the spiritual, the physical,
yes.
About heart health. And so as that continued, the walk evolved.
Okay.
Well, we are here again. Had another one.
Mm.
Okay. Lost another friend.
Mm.
And what we don't understand is heart disease is the number one killer in the world. We talk about COVID, we talk about cancer, we talk about all of kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is tied to heart disease. And so if we can work towards eradicating, fighting
yeah.
and preparing
yeah.
people and educating people on preventive strategies and measures and diets to have a better lifestyle
sure.
and to change their mindset and really take care of themselves, we can begin to improve mm-hmm. the life of so many people. And it doesn't just affect adults. It affects children, babies. Heart disease covers the whole spectrum. So my focus is get to the root of it.
Yes, absolutely.
Get to the root of it and empower our people. And it affects, that has no prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
It affects
mm-hmm.
all of us.
Yeah, Yeah.
So it is
I come from a family of people of high blood pressure. And I thought I was so cute. Oh, I didn't have any problem with blood pressure. I mean, I'm just living my life and doing my thing. I'm just a healthy girl, right? And my sister, who is 11 months older than me, she's been taking high blood pressure pills for like the last 10 or more years. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have to, and I'm lucky. Well, it caught up with me. Linda, it caught up with me, I guess it was about 5 years ago. Yeah, five mm-hmm. years ago. All of a sudden, I'm diagnosed with high blood pressure, and I'm taking a pill every day. Now, the doctor who originally diagnosed me with high blood pressure, she said, you're going to have to take blood pressure pills for the rest of your life. Mm-mm-mm. And so I don't know if, and I've had some other people said to me, you may not have to take them for the rest of your life, but I'm taking them right now. I forgot to take it this morning before I left the house. Uh-oh. Please, nobody stress me out till I get home.
We're gonna have to make sure that we follow our doctor's instructions.
Yes.
The cardiologists, I think, are the most amazing people mm-hmm. in the whole wide world because they know the very function of why we exist. They study it.
Yeah.
And while, you know, there are ways that you can get to a point where you don't, but it takes a long time to get there and it takes a long time to recover. But I would like to say people don't realize athletes die from heart disease. Mm. Remember Reggie White?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep apnea, but that was part of his heart disease, myofunctions.
Yeah.
Your heart stops while you're sleeping. People that are snore, you have to pay attention. These are signs. They call it the silent killer, but there are signs. And so high blood pressure, even your dental. The Temple Dental School is coming out to our Heart Walk on October the 7th. Mm-hmm. The Einstein Northern was Einstein Montgomery County, Einstein Jefferson is coming out to do health checks and diabetes screenings. And you know, we're going to be doing movement, exercise,
great.
To help people understand. And it's a family day. The Heart Walk on October the 7th is not just a heart walk. It's a family day where we're going to come together and we're going to share. We're going to dance after the walk. We're going to fellowship with one another and learn about the dangers of heart disease. Mm-hmm. And I'm so passionate about this. And I know I drive people crazy because I'm caught. Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Registration is important. Mm-hmm. Pre-registering at the Norristown Farm Park is important because we are not allowed to take cash at the event.
Okay.
So you can register. We have a QR code on our website where you can register. It takes you straight to registration. Mm-hmm. You can register online. And even if you show up the day of, if you have a telephone,
you can
register still online.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And, you know, I just want folks to know we have the power. And the power is our will to want to live and live a healthy life.
Amen.
And we're going to teach our children. I start with middle school kids. Mm-hmm. And even our little ones, we talk about you can help mommy and daddy live a better life. When you go to the store and you ask for things in the supermarket, ask for the things that's going to help save our lives. So when the kids influence their parents on their shopping habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I don't want that. I don't want that. And the parents give in.
Yeah.
But if you teach the children, like the Bible says, you teach a man, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. And so we're teaching our children how to live healthy lifestyles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they then minister literally to their parents like, no, I don't want this. And this is healthy. And children are like sponges. They absorb knowledge.
Yes.
And as they grow and get a better understanding, we have a chance of having better lifestyles for generations to come.
Give us the website again where people can get engaged and register for this Heart Healthy Walk on October the 7th in Norristown, Pennsylvania.
The website is www.powerupfoundation.org.
Power up. I love the work that you do. I love and respect the work that you do. We're going to stay connected at the hip. I look forward to being back in touch with you and finding out more of the other great things that you're going to be cooking up through Power Up as we go forward and wind down on this year of 2023. So let's stay in touch, Linda Fields,
and
all right?
I just want to say, before I go, thank you, Laborers Local, Laborers District Council, because they have always been supporters. I thank AmeriHealth. I thank all of the leaders in the city of Philadelphia, Senator Street, for contributing to this event, the churches, our families. Thank you, Thera. Thank you, WWDB, for just considering allowing us to get the word out about a better life with a stronger heart. God bless you. And again, I look forward to seeing a lot of folks register and come on out and have a great day with us for our annual Heart Walking Family Day.
Sis, you don't look like what you've been through. You look like $1 million. Go ahead, Linda Fields. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
This is the Allegheny West Radio Show. I'm Thera Martin, and we're winding down on this September 20th edition of the program. I want to share this as we get ready to say goodbye. You know, North 22nd Street, we've got something for everyone. You got to come and shop till you drop along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor, which runs from 22nd and West Allegheny Avenue down to 22nd and West Lehigh Avenue. On that five-block radius, we've got women's boutiques. We've got child care centers. We've got restaurants. We've got beauty salons and barbershops and hair care stores. We've got three pharmacies. Oh, we've got it going on. We've got a whole lot of good things happening along the North 22nd Street Business Corridor. We've got a dental office. We've got doctor's offices. We've got it going on. So you got to come check it out. North 22nd Street from Lehigh down to Allegheny. It's a five-block radius of 110 businesses, small businesses. Got to come and support businesses in our community. Also want you to know that the City of Philadelphia Department of Commerce, they are preparing to celebrate their annual Med Week. Med Week will take place October the 2nd through October the 6th. And on next Wednesday's program, I look forward to having one of our representatives from the Commerce Department to join us and tell people exactly what's happening, the different workshops and all that, in the hopes that people will come out. You know, you can talk about, I want to be in business, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to be a vendor. But if you don't step out there and start doing something about it, then you'll just be talking and talking and nothing is happening. So we encourage people to follow your dreams and go after what you really, really want to do. And if you are interested in growing a business that you already have, you want to make it stronger, all of that, or if you have an idea for a business but you just need to get started, then you might want to come out to some of the Med Week activities that will be happening October the 2nd through October the 6th in Philadelphia. And sad news, I tell you, over the last, 3 days or so, we got two blows about African-American women who were educators in Philadelphia. And it's a real blow to learn that they have now passed. Temple University Interim President Joanne A. Epps, she died after collapsing at a memorial service yesterday afternoon for the late Dr. Charles Bloxon, another one of my mentors. Epps was transported to Temple University Hospital, where she was pronounced dead at approximately 3:15 yesterday afternoon. She was 72 years old. Now, Ken Kaiser, Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Temple, he declined to speculate about Epps' health prior to her collapse. He said, "We're not aware that President Epps had any health issues. There are no words that can describe the gravity and sadness of this loss," said Mitchell Morgan, Temple Board Chairman, in a statement. "President Epps was a devoted servant and friend who represented the best parts of Temple. She spent nearly 40 years of her life serving the university, and it goes without saying her loss will reverberate through the community for years to come. I did know Joanne Epps personally, and I was very saddened. It was a blow yesterday. It was a blow when that news came across my telephone first, and then as friends began to call me and tell me what was going on. Another sad note in the news this week about another educator, African-American woman who passed, the School District of Philadelphia's first black female superintendent. She has passed away at the age of 89, Dr. Connie Clayton. And Dr. Connie Clayton was in place when I first came back home after graduating from college and learning about the business of radio. And she is one of the newsmakers that I used to talk to often, Dr. Connie Clayton. And I'm saddened to hear of her passing. School Superintendent Dr. Tony Watlington, currently in that position of superintendent, he said over the past year that he's been the superintendent in Philadelphia, he had connected with Dr. Connie Clayton a number of times. He got to know her quite well, both as a mentor and as a friend. And we are very, very sorry about her passing. And finally, in the news this morning on a national level, Republican divisions paralyzed the House again on yesterday as a small band of conservative rebels blocked a motion to merely begin debate on a military funding bill, and GOP leaders abandoned a separate vote to avert a shutdown at the end of the month. The military vote was close, 212-214, with five GOP hardliners in the narrow majority joining Democrats to sink it. And with just 11 days until the deadline, we don't know. Are we going to have a government shutdown about money? They're saying it's inevitable. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, because every time there's a shutdown on government money, it trickles down to the people and folks get stuck. Funding that groups are expecting to get from the federal government doesn't come in because there's a shutdown. It's a mess. So I'm praying that that the news media and some other political experts are wrong when they're saying it's inevitable. There's going to be a government shutdown. I'm praying. No, 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 no. All righty. That really does wrap it up for us. We get ready to go and join Mr. Ron Hinton and all the wonderful volunteers from the Allegheny West Foundation back over there at 3101 North 22nd Street and give out some food. How about that? We want you to know that this radio program is brought to you by the Allegheny West Foundation, and we work every day to lift up our community and to strengthen small businesses in our part of North Philadelphia. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you to my producer, TJ. He did a great job, as always. And thank you to my three guests who showed up. They showed up, they showed out, just like I needed them to. Everybody have a blessed day ahead. Be safe. And remember, life is fragile. Handle it with prayer. Bye-bye.